Welcome to the New Life Shetland podcast. If you'd like some more information on what takes place at New Life Shetland, then please check out our website, www.newlifeshetland.com. We pray that as you listen to this message, that you will feel challenged and inspired.
Amen. Amen. I'm not going to speak too long today. I appreciate there's people standing at the back and everything, so a couple of hours should do it. But anyway, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Incredible piece of scripture there as we continue or finish this series that we've been looking at, which has been based on the Easter crowds. So last Sunday, on Palm Sunday, we looked at the crowds that lined the streets as Jesus came into Jerusalem. And we asked the question, will we crown him or will we kill him? On Friday, our Good Friday service up in Moss Bank, we looked at the idea of being a traitor or a faithful, and the idea that we are Barabbas, where the guilty has been set free because the innocent took our place. And the crowd that day cried for Barabbas to be released and to crucify Jesus. And today we've come to the culmination of the week. The events of the week in this story have led up to Easter Sunday. In some ways, if you're to follow the narrative of Palm Sunday through Good Friday to today, to read in the story in the Gospels of Easter, of Good Friday, that in many ways the crowds have dispersed and gone. The crowd that wanted to crown him and then the crowd that cried to kill him have gone. But I wonder what their thoughts were as they were thinking through the weekend. If ever you've been to a concert, you go home. And often the ringing of the events of that concert, the noise still rings in your ears when you try and sleep. Or I remember one night going home from an event, it was a Falkirk game, and just to say, Falkirk became champions of League One yesterday, fantastic. It doesn't, you can cheer if you want, it's all good. It doesn't happen very often, I get to say that, that's for sure. But I remember one night where I was at a Falkirk game, and they were playing against Rangers. And they were 2-0 down at halftime, and they came back to win 3-2. And it was wonderful. It was great. I came back to, drove home, went to my bed, and I couldn't sleep because the adrenaline of the event was still, oh, it was fantastic. It was a great night. But I wonder if the crowd on Good Friday, after the events of what had taken place, after the events of the week, if there was still something of the ringing in their ears, if there was a wrestling of what had taken place. You see, there were certainly those who were still working on what had taken place. There was those that were scheming to make sure that there was no chance that there could have been a resurrection story. There were those like a Roman soldier who recognized after Jesus had breathed his last who he was. What was in his thoughts, we don't know. There were strange events that had taken place. There were earthquakes. There were dead people who'd got up out of their tombs. There was darkness. There was a temple curtain that had been torn from the top to bottom. There were things that had taken place, and there were those who had walked away in disappointment that later Jesus would meet. Saturday, there was silence. But on that Easter Sunday, everything changed. There were rumors that began to spread that something had taken place. Rumors that Jesus had appeared to the women at the tomb. Rumors that the stone had been rolled away when they'd got there. There were more revelations and sightings. Something new had happened. There were those who said that they'd seen him. There were those who had said that they'd been on a walk and Jesus had appeared to them after that. There were those who met together, as the passage said, and Jesus, they were his followers, and Jesus came and stood among them. These resurrection encounters that people were having were changing their lives forever, together with the events that would take place later in Acts 2, where they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Those who had seen Jesus would go on to turn the world upside down. They went from runaways in the crowd on Friday to those who would stand before the crowd and preach the gospel. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 come to know Jesus. They would be entrusted with the call to spread the word, and that is exactly what they did. And that revolution, that message, that gospel that was preached and passed down through generations continues today. That revolution that survived the threat of the Roman Empire and thrived in persecution, that was spread by a ragtag bunch who the world would not respect and would reject. But because of the revelation of what Jesus had done, because he had risen from the dead, and because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, because he appeared to Peter, and then the disciples, and then a crowd of 500, or over 500 as it said there, that there was something that happened within them that caused their lives to be forever changed. The resurrection, what we celebrate today, that Jesus was dead and was raised to life, is the central claim of the Christian faith. This is the claim that has been changing lives. It's changed my life, and I believe has changed many people here, those who are being baptized. It's evidence that the resurrection, that evidence that Jesus is still on the move today, still changing lives. And I want to ask all of us a question this morning. Have you seen the risen Jesus? Has he changed your life? And today it's my prayer that if you've never encountered him before, that you will leave this place today a different person, because you too can say, I have seen Jesus. One of the great evidences for the resurrection that scholars and historians say is the change in those who have seen Jesus. You see, those who were his followers, many of them went on to die horrific deaths at the hands of those who wanted to crush the message. And people they'll live for the truth. They'll be willing to die for something that's true, but people would not be willing to die for something that was a lie. And Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's saying to them, he's writing at this point, talking about the resurrection of Jesus, and which, as I said, all of our faith is hinged, and he lays out to them in his book, and you can read the whole of the chapter later, 1 Corinthians 15, and he talks about why the resurrection is important, the hope that we have because of it, but he also lays out to them the evidence that there is for it. He says the evidence is there because there are these people who have seen it. He says he lists that Jesus appeared to Peter. He lists that he appeared to his disciples. And he lists that they appeared to a crowd of over 500. And he says many of whom are still alive at this time. They hadn't just seen a vision of Jesus, they had seen the risen Jesus. And this event which took place, scholars would say that it took place probably on the Mount of Olives, but these 500 odd people, they saw that Jesus was alive. You know, one thing I've realized is that once you've seen something, you can't unsee it. Once you've seen something, you can't unsee it. And so when people say, well, your faith or your religion is a choice, then actually, no, because once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. Once I am a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come, that song that we sing says, I cannot deny what I've seen. I've got no choice but to believe. So to go against would be to deny the reality of what we've seen and what we've experienced. These people, there were 500, they saw the event, they saw Jesus with their own eyes. They were witnesses to the event. You know, he appeared to the women at the tomb. They became the first of the witnesses. He appeared to Peter. We don't know the nature of what that appearance was. It just tells us that he did. And then he appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. And then he appeared to his disciples without Thomas. And Thomas says, well, if I don't see him, then I'm not sure I'm going to believe it's true. But then Jesus in his grace appeared to his disciples again with Thomas. And he appeared to this crowd of over 500. And there were other times that he appeared, the Bible tells us. We don't get all the details of that. But then he ascended to heaven. And this morning, these three different people, the Peter, the disciples, and the crowd, just want us to briefly look at them today. Peter, the individual, it says that he appeared to Peter. I love that Jesus appeared to Peter, because Peter had denied Jesus, but Jesus wasn't going to deny him. You see, Peter had failed on the night when Jesus was arrested. Peter had denied who Jesus was. And as I said, we don't know much about that encounter. It's referred to in the Gospels that he appeared to Peter, but we don't know the details of this, but it does say that he appeared to Peter. And although this morning, you know, we're here with a room full of people, we might just feel like a face in the crowd in some ways, but I want to remind us that Jesus appears to individuals. He knows your name. The Bible says that he knows the number of hairs on our head. I saw something funny this week, a satire news story that said, bald man not comforted by the fact that Jesus knows every hair on his head. Made me laugh. But the risen Jesus, he's still appearing to individuals. I loved Jazzy's testimony where she was telling of how God spoke to her. And it's amazing how out of everyone who you know, God spoke directly to her. I remember it being at a concert. My brother was there. And the band on stage asked for a drummer to come on stage. And of all the people in the crowd, they picked out my brother. He came on stage and he smashed it. He's a drummer and he played with them. And he you could not kick the smile off his face the rest of the day. But out of all that crowd, he was the one who picked. I want to remind you this morning that nobody here is anonymous. That Jesus knows all of our names. You might just feel, as I said, like a face in the crowd. You might have denied him. Your life might be in a mess right now. But the risen Jesus can still speak and appear to you today. I wonder if this morning that you'll open your eyes and see him. And that you'll let the truth of the resurrection change your life. You see, the Bible says this in Romans 10 and 9, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It goes on to say in verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, you can't rely on somebody else's salvation. I wonder this morning, who do you say that he is? He appeared to Peter. He still appears to individuals. Do you see him today through the songs we've been singing, through the words that's spoken? Do you see him and see that he's alive? It says that he appeared to the disciples. And we do read about this one. We read about it in John chapter 20 in verse 19. And it says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. This was a crowd. We've been thinking of crowds. They say three is a crowd, so there was 11 of them there. But the crowd who had walked with Jesus, he'd heard that Peter had seen him. But he was also seen that day by those who had walked with him. This encounter with the risen Jesus gives me hope today, and I'll encourage you why it can give you hope, because there's three things that we can see that happened in this encounter. It says the doors were locked, it says that the disciples were afraid, and it says Jesus came and stood among them. And I want you to know that this matters. The doors were locked because Jesus didn't have to knock. He didn't even have to open the door. He was just there. He wasn't a ghost because he invited them to see. In another passage, he actually invites them to touch the wounds that in his hands and feet and in his side. He was there in resurrected bodily form. He was in physical form, not exactly like us. Somebody described it as the same, but different. But the fact that he was there can encourage us that in our lives, that Jesus can go where no one else can go. He can heal where no one else can heal because he is risen. Commentator writes this, he can go where no counselor can go. He can go where no doctor can go. He can go where no lover can go. He can reach you and reach into you anywhere and anytime. There is no place where you are and no depths of personhood that you are that Jesus can't get to. Jesus' resurrection from the dead fits him to do what no one else can do. There is no one else like him in all the universe. He is alive and he is the one and only God-man. When he is capable, what he is capable of, you cannot imagine. And it is a healing wonder to contemplate that all the complex layers of your life, which neither you nor anyone else can understand, are familiar territory to him. It says that they were afraid. They were afraid, and they had every right to be afraid, because the Jewish leaders, those who had convinced the crowd on Good Friday, the disciples were afraid that they were next. The fear was understandable. But into that fear steps Jesus. And if I'm honest, and if many of us here are honest, this is probably an area where we experience Jesus a lot of the time. You know, you might be in here this morning, you might be thinking, well, I'm scared, I fear I'm not equipped for the task, fear that the church won't prosper, fear that my needs won't be met, fear for my family, fear for the future, fear of man. And Jesus, in this action, comes and steps into the middle of their fear. It reminds us that he comes to his own when they're afraid. I don't have to wait, like Anna says, for us to get our act together. I don't have to wait to have enough faith to overcome fear, but Jesus says, I come to help you have enough faith to overcome your fear. Like a parent who comforts a child in the night and whispers in their ear, it's going to be okay. Jesus steps into our fear. After over 30 years of being a Christian, this is something that I've discovered along the way. It's true today. He steps in and helps us have faith to overcome fear. It also says that he stood among them. The point that he came right into the middle of their meeting. He didn't come to the edge and call through the wall and deal with them in a distant way. He wasn't playing games with them. He wasn't toying with their faith. He wanted them to see him and to know him and believe in him and love him. He stepped right into the middle of their midst. That's what he wants for us today. And what I want for us today is I want us to experience the living Jesus, to understand, to know him, to have him draw near into our lives where no one else can go, to have him help you in your fear the way no one else can help you, and to have him come to you, close to you, not calling from a distance, but coming right into our midst. This is what I pray happens to each of us today on this Easter Sunday. In the final group that Jesus appeared to, he appeared to Peter, he appeared to his disciples, and this verse says that he appeared to over 500, the crowd, many of whom are still alive today. Paul's basically saying, if you want evidence that Jesus is here, talk to them. Go and have a chat with them because they actually saw him in the flesh. He is alive. You know, today we join with millions or billions around the world declaring that Jesus is alive. And if you want to see evidence that Jesus is alive, replay that video. Replay that video because what we see in that moment, talk to them because they've seen him. He is alive. You know, Jesus says to Thomas on the day when he appeared to him, he says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. We've seen him through the eyes of faith. Look at their lives. Look at the testimony where it says, I was on narcotics and now I've been set free. Look at the one who says, I was trying to find peace in all these different places, but now I've found the peace that he promises. Look at those who God is now using to spread the gospel online, and look at those who have a purpose, and look at those who have told their stories today, and see him for yourself. Have a conversation with somebody here who's a believer, and they'll tell you about when they saw Jesus, when he became real to them. I hope people can look at my life and say, yeah, Jesus is real because he's experienced them. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. I love this verse. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. It's what they recognized in their life. And the band come, and we're going to close in a moment. But this week, some of you may have seen something about the Easter story. There was a shop that was selling eggs. And they didn't describe them this year as Easter eggs. They described them as gesture eggs because Easter was offensive to some. Tragedy in many ways of our modern culture, but also a reminder and something of a truth that the Easter story is actually always offensive. You see, it's offensive to our selfish nature. It's offensive to our will because it reminds us and it challenges us to make a decision. It reminds us that Jesus was dead and is alive. And if that's true, if that is the case, then there's a decision that we need to make with that piece of information. And in what we've looked at today and what this verse tells us that Paul writes, it reminds us that he appeared to Peter, that he speaks to individuals. It reminds us that he appeared to his disciples, that he goes where no one else can. He steps into the place of our fears and speaks peace. And he stands among us that we might see him. And then we've got the evidence of the crowd that he appeared to. The evidence that is in those around us here today that believe in Jesus, that Jesus is alive. In a moment, we're going to sing a song that says this: we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. I wonder if you can count yourself among that crowd today who says, I can see him. I've seen him in my life. If you've not, then I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. I'm going to invite us all to bow our heads and ask you what your response is. That you might see him today through the eyes of faith and respond and come to know him as your Lord and Savior. Let's bow our heads and maybe we can all pray this prayer today. Just repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you today, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me new. Today I choose to make you Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.